It's the Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Happy Friday. Happy Good Friday to everyone. It sure seems to me that Donald Trump is settling into his new job.
We are so proud of our military, and it was another successful event.
Did you authorize it, sir?
Everybody knows exactly what happened, so... And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately.
That's right. Another trip to the Pentagon toy box. Donald Trump drops for the very first time a MOAB, M-O-A-B, non-nuclear bomb in Afghanistan to take out ISIS militants. What does MOAB stand for?
March 11th, 2003. Marked a milestone in military history. At Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, the United States tested a new superweapon. MOAB, short for Massive Ordnance Airburst, quickly became known as the mother of all bombs.
The most powerful non-nuclear bomb ever dropped in combat in Afghanistan. The Pentagon says that the bomb, which has a blast radius of a mile in each direction, was used to destroy an Islamic State cave complex in Afghanistan. The bomb was dropped on the same day that a U.S. military strike mistakenly killed 18 Syrian fighters allied with the U.S. in the fight against ISIS. That's the third time in a month that U.S. forces struck civilians or allies. I'm a little confused, so I've invited Paul McCleary, foreign policy senior reporter covering the U.S. Defense Department and national security issues, to help me out here. Paul, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, ISIS in Afghanistan, that's news to me. Should it be?
They've been there in very small numbers for several years now, mostly in Nangarhar province in the far east along the Pakistan border. About 2 years ago, the Pentagon was estimating about 2,000 to 3,000 fighters. Now they say about 600 to 800 fighters are left. They're breakoffs from different Islamist terrorist organizations that kind of came together under this ISIS banner. And they've been fighting to gain a foothold there. They haven't had a lot of success. They're fighting with the Taliban. The locals haven't really taken to the group. Afghan government and their U.S. Special Forces advisors launched a pretty large assault on them about a month ago, which this MOAB strike was part of the assault. And just last week, U.S. Special Operations Forces soldier was killed in that fight.
Isn't the proliferation and growth of ISIS in Afghanistan a huge indictment of the U.S. presence and mission in Afghanistan?
It's been 16 years of combat,
yeah.
For sure, for every U.S. forces there. I mean, there's still 9,800 forces on the ground with about another 5,000 to 6,000 NATO forces on the ground. Yes, I mean, the Taliban in the south in Helmand province recently retook some major districts. They're pushing on Lashkar Gah in Helmand. They attack in Kabul all the time. The Taliban itself is still a very powerful organization that isn't going to go away anytime soon. ISIS, the Pentagon has said for years, and the military command in Kabul have said that they're not extremely concerned about ISIS in Afghanistan, but this MOAB strike and this new offensive kind of shows otherwise.
The Afghan Defense Ministry said 36 suspected ISIS militants were killed in the bombing. No civilians were hurt. Is that tactically significant, do you think? And Hamid Karzai was outraged. Former president of Afghanistan said, "I vehemently and in strongest words condemn the dropping of the latest weapon, the largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan by the U.S. military. This is not the war on terror, but the inhuman and most brutal misuse of our country as a testing ground for new and dangerous weapons."
Well, the counterinsurgency era is well over, I think, as we've seen in Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan. I don't know how the Afghan government's assessing their 36 militants killed if they're in tunnels underground. You know, they usually have vague estimates for how many people are there. Given that the MOAB costs $16 million each one, that's quite an investment to kill 36 people.
Is ISIS a threat in Afghanistan? Are some tunnels in Afghanistan connected to the war in Raqqa, the Syria operation, which seems to be more to the point? Or is it just some dusty stuff we can bomb?
Well, ISIS is definitely not an existential threat to the state of Afghanistan. It is a problem. It's something that the United States is very concerned about. I mean, they're going after ISIS in countries around the world. You know, and since we have such a large military presence there, I think they've made it a priority, at least in the short term, to try to eliminate this group before it can grow or gain more of a foothold in Afghanistan, because the Taliban is still such a huge threat to the country and is the true existential threat. The use of the MOAB this wouldn't have happened under the Obama administration. It seems pretty clear. I mean, the Obama White House was very involved in airstrikes in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, et cetera, signing off on individual strikes, very involved tactically. The Trump White House has taken the exact opposite approach and given the authority to local commanders on the ground as far as what targets to hit, when to hit them, and what to hit them with. My understanding is that this strike, the approval never reached the White House. General Votel, the head of U.S. Central Command, signed off on it after the head of U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan, General Nicholson, said he wanted to use it.
All right, Paul, before we go, and we just have a few seconds, this just sounds to me like General Westmoreland in Vietnam bombing the Ho Chi Minh Trail and bombing, you know, secret trails of Vietnamese Viet Cong that you know, went on for years and never significantly degraded the efforts of the Viet Cong to resupply. Does it sound familiar to you?
Well, the U.S. airstrikes in Afghanistan have increased pretty significantly over the past 2 months, much more than were last year. And since the Trump administration took office, even Iraq and Afghanistan, the bombing runs have been more frequent. They've dropped a lot more ordnance than they had under Obama. This isn't a ground war. This is an air war against the Islamic State and the Taliban in places like Yemen, Somalia, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria. The Air Force and Navy aircraft are taking the fight to these groups with some U.S. Special Forces advisors on the ground helping locals. The Pentagon calls it by, with, and through local forces with U.S. aircraft blanketing the skies.
I mean, we lost the war in Vietnam. Are we doing better in this, strategically speaking, before we go?
It's a very different war. In Vietnam, I mean, the Viet Cong, they were regular military formations with armor, artillery, you know, battalions. These are small groups of fighters with some heavy equipment, but these guys can scoot and disappear into the woodwork after these strikes and after they lose cities like Mosul and Raqqa. So it's a very different fight.
Paul McCleary, foreign policy senior reporter covering the U.S. Defense Department and national security issues. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.